in a committee, and if we've got 5 members present, we call right. So good afternoon and welcome to this meeting of the Select Committee for Finance. We're battling for nearly 5 weeks to arrange a meeting where we can deal with our own agenda points as Select Committee for Finance. We took the slot because ISSE Appropriations informed me that they won't use today. And also thank you for Estelle for acting on behalf of Solani. I was just informed when I entered this room that Solani is on sick leave for the whole week. So I didn't know that. And he will be back on Monday next week. But I request to the acting manager of this cluster, and it's very frustrating and I'm sick and tired of talking, I'm looking for action, that our staff members are issued with a cell phone. Honorable Karim made a plea and his committee secretary, Mr. Alan Wickham, was issued with a cell phone. But after hours, I'm the committee secretary until the morning 9 o'clock. That's a reality. And I want the acting manager to take note of that, and I want a reply at our following meeting. Because this was addressed in a chairperson's meeting of the NCOP. This was addressed in a joint chairperson's meeting of the NA and the NCOP. And both the leadership, the House chairpersons, Honorable Frolic and Yambi, required a reply and action. And until today, we received none. So I don't want to talk about this again. So all my members, welcome at this meeting. Are there any apologies? Honorable Esak is stranded in Mpumalanga. And he has to brief his province tomorrow on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill 2016. I propose that we accept that apology. Thank you. Honourable members, the second point is the consideration of the report on the Provincial Treasury's expenditure review for the third and fourth quarter 2015-16. Excuse me. You will recall that quite a while back, we had a meeting on this report. It was quite a lengthy meeting, and members made their inputs, and we captured that. And the report was circulated again, but we couldn't get a slot to deal with the amended report. So that report is on the agenda. I hope members read through it, because it's the same report we dealt with in a previous meeting, except for the observations and recommendations. There were amendments. Do members want us to go page by page? I put the honorable members page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Sorry, let's just go back to page 6, Limpopo. During the lock-up session, a chair of finance came to me from the chair of finance in the legislature of Limpopo came to me and requested me that we call them back on the post-intervention situation. What after the intervention? So I told the honourable member to send us a letter that we deal with it in management, but also deal with it in committee, and see where we can fit such a meeting in. But until this morning, as I speak, we haven't received such a letter. And on Friday, at Taking Parliament to the People in East London, the Honourable MEC Thuli also came to me. So just on Limpopo, I just want to mention that. Honourable members, page 8. Page 9. Page 10. KZN, Comet Louis, that's your province. Committee observations, that is part of the report that was amended. Page 12. Recommendations, page 13. And page 14. Honourable members, you will recall last week there was a presentation made by the Auditor General. And we don't have a SCOPA in the NCOP. We only have finance and appropriations. So between the two committees, in a certain sense, we will have to play the role of SCOPA. Referring to this report, related to the AG's report that was that went public last week. And look at our engagements again, referring to provinces, referring to engaging with provincial treasuries, and relate that engagement to the AG's report as well. We'll have to link up all the ingredients that we, I think, we can be more effective and efficient, but we will look at that as a management team. I put the report then to the committee. Can we get a mover for adoption? Honourable Motara moves for adoption. Honourable Moai seconds. Honourable members, thank you very much that we could have concluded that one. Then, honourable members, the other report is the report on the study tour to Mexico. We waited very, very long for the documentation from some of the stakeholders in Mexico. And the embassy had to assist us to link up again with these stakeholders. And also assisted by Alejandra Compera from the National Treasury. So this report was circulated to members. We are only tabling it today. And I request honourable members to work through it thoroughly and send your inputs to, in this case, Estelle, acting on behalf of Zolani, and that we make the cut-off date Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock. We can't let this report stand over until 2017. We'll have to finish it off before we rise on the 9th of December. So please, we need your cooperation. Before 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon, make your inputs to Estelle, please. Anyone that wants to say something about the report, it was circulated, I think, last Wednesday or Thursday. Agreement? Thank you. Yeah, you get your documents from for appropriations. Yeah. Yes, so it will be somewhere in your system.
Yeah, then I'll have it.
Okay. Honourable members, that brings us to the to 7 sets of minutes. Yeah, it's quite a pack. Where is it? Here it is. Here it is. Dating back, honourable members, to the 11th of October this year, 2016, when we dealt with the draft report on the provincial treasuries, which we just have adopted, and also considering an adoption of the outstanding minutes, I put to honourable members page 1, that's the minutes of 10 October 2016, page 1. Page 2. Excuse me. On page 2.5, actually point 4 and point 5, I sent Zolani an email, but I didn't know he was on sick leave, to request Mr. Tshabalala to be present at this meeting, as well as Advocate Tau, but by implication also Zolani. Now, two of the three is not here. But this is an outstanding matter which I would have liked to be concluded today. Regarding the constituency fund, the money that was used for two evenings dinners in Mexico. I want the honourable members' feeling on this, please. Because we have to conclude this before the end of November. Advocate Tau.
Thanks, Chair. I am here on behalf of the section as the acting unit manager. But if there is anything that would require me to consult Mr. Tshabalala, I will do so. Now, secondly, I'm not sure if what was discussed during the management meeting can be tabled to the members, because I think the issue was clarified and there was a recommendation from the management meeting where the issue was clarified about the use of contingency funds.
Honourable members, we met as a management Mohai, you must now assist me. It was after the caucus, not last week, the week before, to deal with this matter. The factual situation is all the arrangements for accommodation and ground transport was made by Dirco and the embassy in South African embassy in Mexico. Our dinners for the evenings we had to take at a club facility on the 40th floor of the hotel Hyatt where we stayed. And if I recall correct, it was the Wednesday and Thursday evening. The Wednesday evening members complained about the quality of the food at the club. And we engaged with Mr. Adrian Tupassani from the embassy, and I consulted also Solani, and Onbo Moai was standing next to me, and asked Tupassani from the embassy, will Dirco be able to refund Parliament if we don't use that facility but we go to the restaurant for the dinners? And he couldn't answer me on the spot. So the decision was taken, we're going to the restaurant, but this matter will be taken up by Dirco, or with Dirco. Coming back, we consulted with Dirco. Emails were sent every second, third day. And then the reply came back, because I met with Mr. Tshabalala as well, explaining to him the situation. seeing that we didn't utilize that facility for two evenings, can they refund Parliament in terms of the expenses that was paid but not used? And then I was told that it's another process. Secondly, I requested Mr. Chabalala to explain to me why did they use DIRCO when in the case of the Standing Committee for Finance, a travel agency was used to do all the arrangements, except for the agenda, the program. It's all got to do with the availability of funds. And then came a reply from Mrs. Andrea, what's that lady's name? Hubert. Anthea Hubert. A set of three documents explaining the directives for delegations, but this directives refer to officials of DIRCO, and we're not officials, we're members of Parliament. I again met with Mr. Chabalala, and I phoned him as well. And then he referred me to Advocate Tau. I forwarded all the documentation to Mr. Chabalala and Advocate Tau. There are three scenarios, honorable members. To utilize constituency funds, there must be a permission or authorization given. And those funds are funds from Parliament. And there was no engagement with that evening with Parliament to get authorization. So, seeing that an official from the committee section used the funds, the reply I got was that 12,000 rand will be deducted from his salary. I met with Advocate Tau in his office. I called Solani. Asked Solani to explain to him the circumstances to Advocate Tau. The fact of the matter is there was no authorization given to utilize constituency funds. Each member received S&T for 5,000 rand for the trip. So there are three scenarios. The one is the deduction of the money from one person, the secretary of the committee, or it goes through as unauthorized expenditure and capture as such in the financial statements of Parliament, in the quarterly report, as well as the annual report that goes to the Auditor General. And the Select Committee of Finance name will appear in the notes to the financial statements. That's how it's done. Thirdly, that the members who utilized that restaurant that evening for two nights, two dinners, that funds be deducted from our salaries to cover the expenses. And that is the factual situation. Advocate Tau?
Thanks, Chair. Just to emphasize two things. The first one is the requirement for approval. Just to explain to members that in a situation where a committee is out there and the committee is not satisfied with the service rendered, any service, be it accommodation, food and the like, the first thing to do is to bring that matter to the attention of Parliament authorities. In this case, the budget holder for the section is Mr. Chabalala. Even though they will do it through us as managers, he is the final approver. Now, as soon as the matter is brought to his attention, then he can give approval. What that means is the service provider must be notified that that agreement or contract is terminated, which means you are no longer going to provide a service. Then alternative service can be sourced. That is what must happen. Now, in this case, the reply that came from Department of International Relations, it looks like they were not notified that don't continue with the service. And that is where the problem is. When, while on the other hand, approval was not requested. The second point that makes even the matter more complicated is the contingency fund itself is not meant for catering, with the understanding that members are given S&T. Now, the purpose of S&T is to provide catering. Now, even if, Chairperson, one was to request that this becomes an authorized expenditure, it will not be accepted for the purpose that contingency fund was utilized. Unlike if a certain service provider was utilized and that service provider is now asking money from Parliament. Now, in this case, Parliament is saying whoever was issued with contingency fund will have to repay it. Thanks.
I also requested of Mr. Chabalala, in future, there must be a directive that goes with the delegation out of the country when there is contingency funds allocated to be utilized in emergencies. In this case, there was no directive. So there's a couple of things that can change in terms of the preparation administratively from Parliament regarding future delegations leaving the country. Are there any questions, Honourable Nzimande?
Chairperson, I think let's not jump to... I think we're jumping the principal matter. The principal matter here is the anomaly that existed. And that anomaly of having to deal with... somebody must then face those consequences of that decision. Because I don't mind the third option of paying what I ate. But also, the intention of the S&T is not catering. On international trip, dinners are paid for unless otherwise stated. And as an example of that, that's why then that club thingy was approved for evening. So it's we can't accept that explanation, that aspect, that the S&T was for the food. That's not true. So then what was then that service of the club? So it those two doesn't tally. So there's no truth in that. It's just a justification perhaps, but that's not the truth. But coming back, the anomaly, Chair, is that if it starts there where we're talking about the money having to not utilizing as a service provider but using Derco and can't get the money back, I think that's where we need to concentrate first so we see who has done what there. I think that clarity, Chair, must be provided quite thorough. Then we can then find solace in whatever options that are put down. Obviously, I ate the plate, so I must pay for the plate. I can't say Zulani pay for the plate. It would be unfair to ask Zulani to pay for my food. Though I'm saying that first, let's account on the anomaly. How did the anomaly take place? Who is responsible for it? What are the consequences for that anomaly? The one that says the funds were directed and given to Derco and then funds were not available. What explanation is that? No funds available. For what? Parliament was bankrupt at the time. We can't accept that statement that says funds were not available. And therefore, an anomaly was allowed to occur. But then when another anomaly occurs of these contingency funds needing to be used because there was no food in that club, and then that one is not allowed. No, Chair. I think we must, at the best, at the best of it, be fair enough to all of us. I don't think it would be difficult for members to pay, but fairness must prevail. And people must be truthful and not pushing, and now we are blamed for things that I don't think we are responsible for. Let alone Zolani made a scapegoat for nothing. So the managers, chair, I think sometimes they must take responsibility. For the mere fact that Tshabalala is not here, I don't take it light, take it kind. Because he's the one who's supposed to come and explain, and he was invited. But I don't mind, as I said, Chair, personally, I mean, I ate the food. I think that's the guiding principle for me. But first, let's know and agree on the anomaly. Who is responsible? Why did it? Why was it allowed to happen? Then I would be happily paying for my bill.
Noted, Honorable Motse Shuping, and then Honorable Motara.
Honorable Chair, I am partly covered by Honorable Nzimandi. But I was of the view that the two officials, as we requested in the last meeting, would come and explain to us, because firstly, I don't want us to put the horse before the cart. The cart before the horse, you know? No, you put the cart before. Now, you know what is happening here? The reason why we requested that there be a report, firstly, is the determination of 5,000. Just to be explained to us, how did they arrive at that figure? What is the criteria that was used, or the formula, if it's an acceptable norm in terms of the international trips. Now, we are isolating an issue here, because I can argue that I was invited for dinner. There must have been a responsible person who took that decision. And this thing of over democratic centralism, it is the one that is really having effect on us, because we were not consulted. When this consultation happened, we were not even told how a decision was arrived at for us to go and eat there. We just went as if, you know, it's everything normal, it's part of what we were entitled to. Because at any rate, we would have just stayed in our rooms, and we would have been refunded now, because we stayed for almost 3 days without dinner. That was not dinner at that level 40. Chair, I'm proposing that we await the report, notwithstanding the fact that the official now has been put into a corner. And really, who took this decision? And how was it arrived at? It's important that we know.
Honorable Motara, then Honorable Gaga.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, in one of the emails that you sent to me, I responded because my response was that the travel policy that Durko uses different to the policy that Parliament uses, because Durko is a government department, so it pays on behalf of officials. So that's something that you must. And I agree with Honourable Nzimande and Honourable Motla Shuping. This anomaly created by Durko being a so-called service provider or a substitute for a service provider creates a lot of. It creates a lot of other issues, because for international travel for members, you are entitled to accommodation, breakfast, dinner, and laundry, ground transport, all of those things. The communique that came from Durko was that if a member is traveling with a minister, that is the policy of Durko. And it speaks to officials. It will then answer the question of the SNT, because SNT for officials is based on rand per dollar exchange. If you are traveling with a minister or a member of the executive, it doesn't apply to us. And that was my response to you, is that DIRCO's policy can't apply to us because we are not employees of DIRCO. We are public office bearers. So there's a complete different policy for public office bearers as opposed to those who are receiving a salary through, what do they call it? Personal. Those with personal numbers, yes. I used to have a personal number, so I know. So that's the first thing. Once we get that, because there were a lot of other things that happened while we were on the trip, which it may be something that we can raise with the leadership of the institution. I don't think managers should even get involved in it, because, for instance, If DIRCO gets refunded following whatever process, because we didn't make use of whatever facility, where is that money going to go to? Are they going to be refunded on behalf of Parliament, or are they going to be refunded as a department? And I'm fine with the principle of paying because you've eaten is fine. It's fair. And fortunately, I mean, we've traveled, even Honorable Moai has traveled for Parliament business before. You know that you are catered for breakfast and dinner. If you want anything additional, it comes out of your pocket. And S&T is not for dinner or what is supposed to be prescribed in the travel. And I think Honorable Moai raised, or was it Honorable Mutlashuping, who raised the issue of laundry. It's supposed to be covered for. And Honorable Moai, it's supposed to be covered for when you travel as a member. And even when you look at the difference between when members travel with officials, even of Parliament. The S&T is different if officials are not going to be catered for two meals. There is a difference. So the first is that we must use the correct policy that relates or affects us as members of Parliament or as a committee of Parliament. Because that political approval didn't come from the CFO of DIRCO. It came from the chair and the institution, the chairperson of the NCOP, following everything else, and then it must be paid for by Parliament. You can't sign it off as an executive authority and have another accounting official that you don't have jurisdiction over to pay for something that you have approved in your capacity as an executive authority. It's illegal. And I want to understand really, how did DIRCO get involved in this thing? On whose authority? Because nowhere, there isn't any request from the committee. There's no letterhead anywhere here that has the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. There's nothing that the minister knows about that has happened in the name of a department. I don't know whether the DG is aware that anything has been undertaken in the name of his department. And it's just illegal. So, and really, of course, Zulani can't pay for everybody. That's just impossible. Unless he ate 12 plates of food. So, but we must do, I think for us, the essence is that let's just do what is correct. Paying is not even an issue, I think. The issue is that, I mean, tomorrow you're going to have a minister that must answer why did you pay for Parliament to go wherever? You're going to open up to separation of powers, audit findings, all of those things. And I really want to understand, how is it that the CFO of one department paid for something signed by an executive authority of another department? How does it work? And if it has happened with us, how many other committees have gone through the same thing? And maybe it's just fortunate that it has happened with the Finance Committee, so we understand PFMA and what is supposed to happen. Other committees may not be in the same position. So let's correct it. Those officials who did whatever unscrupulous things in this process must be held accountable. And for me, that is more critical than anything else. Because, again, anything that's going to be refunded is going to go back to DIRCO. Where is that money going to go to when it goes back to DIRCO? I mean, we were even told about things like ground transport is paid for, but not outside of a particular vicinity. That's, we went to Mexico. We didn't go to a 12-kilometer radius within Mexico City. That's not where we went to. So all of the different explanations that we got may be correct for those with personal numbers. But for those who are public office bearers, there's a different, completely different policy that governs the work that we do. And those officials that got involved in this and how they got involved, because I have my own ideas of what happens in this instance. And it is almost a collusion between our embassies, unfortunately, and parliament or departments that do international trips. Because embassies sit and wait for delegations to come, and then they find ways of making money using this thing. And it has got to stop. It really, really has got to stop. Thanks, Chair.
Gayla?
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for coming late. I had a meeting with the Chief Whip.
Yes, speak through the mic.
I had a meeting with the Chief Whip. Sorry for coming late.
I know why.
I think Honorable Zimande hit the nail on the head. And I agree, it's a norm that we get S&T for lunch. Breakfast and dinner is provided for. Now, Chairperson, Motara's right, but I feel we need to get the head of the institution or the officials that are involved in this. Because in the first place, we cannot sit here and decide what dinner am I going to eat. We differ. There are people who are able to eat salads and a piece of bread and be fine. We really differ. I mean, that dinner there was maybe suitable for certain people, but not for Gayla. It was not suitable, neither for Lou as well, because I know Lou, you know, we're the same. So really, nobody can decide what must I eat. Nobody. Nobody, or else I can stay in my house and not go anywhere, because I'll get my full plate of meal there. And my plate is very big. So you cannot then go and send us and go and starve us. We can't allow that, Chairperson. Solana is not going to pay this money. The people that, as Motara says, who are responsible, this must account. They must account. I 100% agree. And the sooner this is done, Motara, the better. Let's get those people who are responsible for this. They can't go decide that we must eat salads and go sleep on salads every day. We're working very hard. So, I think the previous speakers are 100% already, and I support them. And I would like to be there when those, whether it's officials, when you call them, they, I want to be there. Because they won't decide for me. They can decide for you, not for me. I'm going to eat the food that I want to eat. Nobody will decide for me. Thank you.
Anyone else? Because at my last engagement over the telephone, the Honorable Chabalala, he referred me to Advocate Tao. So I haven't seen Mr. Chabalala again because I couldn't get a slot with him. So Advocate Tao, I don't know if you want to reply now, but we must look at a first available date that we can engage with Mr. Chabalala and Advocate Tao again. We are scheduled to have a meeting on the 29th of November, Tuesday, dealing with the taxation laws amendment bills. There's three of them, but there's a question. And the program is the last point on the agenda that we can call these officials. Honorable Mohai and then Honorable
Mohai. Chair, I think it was in the last term, just before we went off on recess, because we were concluding this process of planning to go to Mexico. Can we please get the head of international relations, her name is Nomfundo, to come and explain how international relations supports committees and the policy for members that travel, because they do the all the necessary arrangements as international relations within Parliament. Her name is Nomfundo. She is acting manager of IR. So because you're going to get Mr. Chabalala is going to tell you, Mr. Go to Advocate Tao is going. It's just one going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and we're not going to get this thing resolved. So can we? And then even if beyond that, and to me, I don't, the Auditor General is not going to have a finding next week or next month. So I don't want to say let's drag it on for as long as possible. It must come to its natural conclusion, but with thorough investigation from our side. I think we owe it to, I don't think we owe it to the committee, but we may owe it to the institution or just as to government as a whole. And even go to the extent of calling officials of DIRCO with the select committee or whatever, because there is a lot of things that are going on which are just not correct. Thanks, Jim.
That's actually a separate meeting totally. Honorable Mohai.
No, Chair, I had members' views on this matter. I was fortunate to have the discussion in the management meeting. And I think the tone that we were taking in the management meeting was rather let's request Advocate Dow to help us how we resolve this matter, given the fact that we have taken decisions along the way, and little did we understand the impact of such a decision to shift. We thought it's optional to shift from 40th floor to ground floor, where of course there were difference of service. Yes, just because there was a difference in service. The other one was linked. Of course, there was also niceties. There were certain things that were as a package in terms of 40th floor. But it was not, however, the interest of members. So given this thing, and at that time, Advocate Dow, they located it, that all what they were supposed to, like he has explained, the procedure, the committee secretary was supposed to alert them this and this and this. But you know all the problems that are related in terms of the out of communication of the committee secretary and so forth, the problems that have been raised. You've said it, Chair, that committee secretaries must be given the tools of trade. But also our insistence as members just to say that, no, we're changing. We want service at this level.
So I think for me, really, we can undertake all the issues members are raising are as well important for future. Because even yourself, Chair, it may be important to talk to the chair, house chair of IGR, just to discuss or set the process, because it affects all committees of the house. It may be that to request the house chair just to outline the protocols when we travel outside the country, the utilization of S&T and so forth, so that we don't confine it to this committee. It's just an important aspect, because quite honestly, it was the first experience to travel as a committee. Members are used to travel individually, where IGR take the entire responsibility. They tell you from point A to point B what is going to be happening. That's the experience I've had. When I travel alone, you are with a member of that unit. But with the first experience as a committee. So I think this matter must be elevated appropriately, where it must be, notwithstanding that process. But if, for instance, because all of us are keen to just say we need to dispose of this matter, it's not something that we're interested to drag. So whatever formula is found, members incur the responsibility. Formula that is used, so all of us who traveled just to pay the outstanding amount which is in dispute. But follow up on the issues that we raised. What is the application of police vis-a-vis? What is it that we are entitled to as members and the police? And I'm telling you, this is going to also influence even the work of that committee of oversight of parliament. It's going to be very clear. Even that it will go down even to officials to draw the distinction. What is it that regarding members and what is it regarding? But I'm happy with accepting the principle of accountability. Just say, let's dispose of it. Let them rather, without finding fault, because the matter was boiling for Zolani to incur this thing. It was that the committee may have deemed it necessary that he has failed in his responsibility at this given time. But I've explained previously. I mean, to be outside the country at times can have its own complications, particularly around communication and all of those things. We know we're there, and we know that there's nothing wrong we've done. Unfortunately, this thing has been dragged into this level. So if they can just assist us, so just sort it out and elevate this matter, so that when we say the house chair, all of them now that we are discussing, so that it should not be us and them. There should be a standard in how policy is interpreted and applied for members outside the country.
Honourable Motse Shupin, thank you, Honourable Mohai.
Honourable Mohai doesn't agree with us. You know, he puts it so diplomatically. He says we must handle the issue of the funds and handle other issues. No, that is not the approach that we are proposing. When you are coming with a different approach, the approach here is for officials to come. We're not refusing to pay. We are saying let the officials come and explain to us. Because as a matter of fact, you have said it, the audit opinion will not come tomorrow. The auditor general will not audit books today. Let's give this process time, and then at the appropriate time, we'll dispose of the matter. It's not a matter that really can we have a headache about it. Please.
Can we conclude this matter in a way forward on Batao? You've noted the questions. That we get a date as soon as possible to engage with these officials, inviting the lady from international relations as well as the house chair on IGR. So that will be a meeting just to deal with that matter. Included Mr. Chabalala under the name officials. He's an official of parliament. And then lastly, that we recommend that this deduction doesn't be done from Mr. Rento's salary. And we as individual members then pay for what we enjoyed those two evenings. I must say they could, the steak was five star. It was very good. I enjoyed my steak. And I'll pay it with pleasure. Can we please conclude this matter?
The resolution does not say we must pay. Call the officials. We decide after that meeting.
All of you said you don't have a problem.
Honorable members, let one person speak. If two persons speak at the same time, I can't hear. So please, Honorable Gaylor, can you repeat what you said? I don't have a clue what you said.
I'm saying that we are not saying we are paying. We want, after we've met with the officials, then we'll decide. We first want to meet with them. Then we'll decide. We are not paying now. That is the bottom line. If they agree to pay, they'll pay. We are not paying. First, we want clarity. That's what we want. Thank you.
Are there any other member that wants to make the last input? Romans Monday.
No, sir. We know Mahai enjoyed his wine as well. So, and we are willing to accompany him in paying the wine. No.
I have paid on the spot. Anything I have had.
All right, sir. Sir. What we want to say, sir, on that point of order, I'm saying, sir, we want to make an emphasis. The purpose of the meeting, over and above the clarity, is to deal with the anomaly that occurs, and that matter must not be out of throw. We are saying there is an anomaly, and that anomaly we must know how it occurred. Because if I'm agreeing to pay, or I'm saying I'm not paying, Zolani must pay because there was an anomaly that was caused by Zolani, or that was caused by Nomfundo, or some CFO from Terco, or DG from Terco. For first, that's what we need to deal with, the anomaly. I think that weight must be captured properly. There's an anomaly in the application of policy. Right. That's the main thing. Then the logical conclusion of the matter and how it gets disposed will come after that anomaly has been unpacked and unraveled. Thank you, Chair.
We have to deal with that as soon as possible before the end of next week. As we said here, we are supposed to rise on the 9th of December. Honourable members, I go back to the minutes. We've captured everything. Estelle captured it. Pardon?
He has food for half an hour, whether or not he can put
it. Honourable members, thank you for this discussion. Thank you for your inputs. And Honourable Tao captured his questions. Estelle captured here. And the two of you can just look at the minutes after this meeting. I put then the minutes of the 11th of October to the committee. Honorable Mutara moves for adoption. Seconded. Honorable Gaylor seconds. Thank you. Then, members, we go to the minutes of the 19th of October. The pre-empty BBS briefing by the Parliamentary Budget Office. And secondly, we again try the consideration of the draft report on the treasuries. Thirdly, consideration of minutes, page 1. No apologies was there. Page 2, presentation by the National Treasury.
I move.
It's straightforward. The mover for adoption, Honorable Mai moves, seconded by Honorable Motara. Thank you. Members, the 27th of October 2016, the minutes of that meeting, briefing by the Minister of Finance on the MTBBS, page 1. We have the full house, page 2, capturing actually the factual situation, and page 3. Honorable Moai moves for adoption, seconded by Honorable...
Just a correction, I was not absent, I apologize. All of you, all members would recall. No, it was the first day of caucus.
when we were asked to remain behind.
Okay.
And then by the time I wanted to join the meeting adjourned, yes. So I apologize.
100%, it will be corrected. Honourable members, then we go to the minutes of the... Pardon? Can we get a seconder for this? Honourable Terblanche, yes, he second. Honourable Terblanche second. The 1st of November 2016, briefing by the PBO on the MTBBS, page 1, and page 2. We reserve all the documents from the PBO. Honourable Gayla moves for adoption. Seconder, please. Thank you, Honourable Motara. Second by Honourable Motara. Then we go to the 2nd of November, the public hearings on the revised fiscal framework. This is where the committee split. Half went to finance, the other half went to appropriations. On the same day, at the same time. For those who attended, excuse me, myself, Honourable Motara Shuping and Terblanche, page 1, excuse me, page 2.
Chair?
Yes?
On these meetings that we split, can we just indicate the members who went to appropriations must reflect as apologies?
You're right. You're 100% correct.
And the same with when appropriations is done.
You're 100% correct, either at the top or after introduction, that be captured. You're right, 100%. Thank you. Thank you for that. Honourable Motara Shuping moves for adoption, seconded by Honourable Motara. Thank you. 4th of November.
Gayla.
All right, Mr. Honourable Terblanche. He was present. He was very present. Order, Honourable members, the 4th of November's minutes. Briefing by the FFC on the MTBBS and responses by the National Treasury. I think that was a Friday, if I can remember correct.
Yes, I was present.
Very much. Honourable members, page 1. Honourable members, page 2.
Agreed.
Honourable members, page 3. We have a couple of resolutions in all the minutes. We have to come back to these, maybe on a one-page resolutions taken by the committee that we just tackle them. And I put the minutes to the committee. Mover for adoption, Honourable Mohai moves, and Honourable Tablan seconds. Thank you. We're nearly done. The 8th of November... Consideration and adoption of committee report on the revised fiscal framework. This was a joint meeting with, again, a standing committee. And for that moment, we just took separate decisions. Page 1, Honourable Members, and page 2. And straightforward, move for adoption. Thank you, Honourable Motara Shuping, a seconder. Honourable Mohai seconds. Honourable Members, thank you very much. That brings us to the program, and I want Honourable Motara just to update us. I want it to be recorded. There's referrals that appeared in the ATC on the 8th of November. That's a Tuesday on page 2. Draft regulations on giving effect to the demarcation between health insurance and medical schemes made in terms of section 72(2)(a) of the Long-Term Insurance Act. And so it goes on. Being referred to Select Committee on Finance for consideration and report. That sentence is very important. Then the referral on the 11th of November, also page 2, draft amendment to the Supply Chain Management Regulations in terms of section 1692 of the Local Government Municipal Finance Act, Finance Management Act 2003, referred to the Select Committee on Finance. So here's two referrals that we will have to deal with, which I noted. Honorable Motano.
Chair, can I please ask Estelle to just give us the revised MTPPS program? Thanks. Although she did, they did send it, but just to update us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, so the latest program that was revised last week on Thursday. So that's the committee program. I need the MTPPS. Well, it's the same thing. Let me open that one. As we all know, the Division of Revenue was not referred last week as planned, and hopefully it will be referred this afternoon, which means that provinces are all on standby to do the ones who wasn't briefed, who weren't briefed last week, will do briefings. Those who have been briefed will continue with hearings and decisions. Some have had hearings, some will only take decisions by standby, so that our negotiating mandate meeting is now scheduled for Thursday, the 24th. And that will be at 12:30 to allow provinces who still maybe need some time in the morning to meet to ensure we get the maximum number of mandates. So Thursday, the 24th at 12:30, we will meet next door in M314 to look at the negotiating mandates. And then a lot of provinces have indicated they're having sittings on Friday to prepare final mandates so that the following Tuesday, which is the 29th of November, we will consider the final mandates and the draft report. The draft report will be distributed at the meeting on Thursday so that members can look at it and make any input before the adoption on the Tuesday, the 29th. The meeting on Tuesday is also for 12:30 on the 29th because finance will be meeting just before us from 10 on the finance bills. So finance will meet from 10. Finance committee, yes. And then our meeting will be at 12:30 on Tuesday the 29th for final mandates and report. And then hopefully the NCOP will, decision on the bill will be the following day, 30 November. That is what we're planning. And then so that we can then immediately on Thursday and Friday sit jointly with the standing committee to be briefed on the other two bills, the adjustments appropriation and the finance bill, and then on the Friday have our public hearings. Our public hearings would initially have taken place this Friday, but we've now moved it to Friday the 2nd of December. The stakeholders have been informed. The Thursday meeting, we can't, there's no caucus as far as I know, but at the moment the NA program still says that they're sitting at 10. Yes. On Thursday, the 1st of December, but the bills on the order paper are the ones that we need to be briefed on, so probably we'll be able to meet at 10, but we'll confirm the date.
The power is yours,
my brother. Thursday the 1st, because the NA program still has a sitting from 10 o'clock for the whole day of adjustments appropriation, but the last one I said might can't be that it has changed, but we will inform members as soon as we have the date. Then the Friday the 2nd will be the joint public hearing on the bills and the MTPPS from 9. Then the NA will do their thing, hopefully adopt the bills and go so that by Thursday the 8th we will be able to finalize the outstanding bills and committee report. Thank you.
Thank you, Estelle, Honorable De Blans and then Honorable Motla Shuping.
Can I just ask to you whether Estelle is going to circulate that information again to us? Are you going to?
It was sent to us, if I'm correct, last Thursday.
So sorry for that, but I know that you sent it out.
Please resend it, Honorable Motla Shuping, and then Honorable Motla.
Chairperson. Of course. We are preempting that today the bill will be referred. No. The way I read this, it's on the basis that the bill is referred. So if it doesn't get referred, it means we must be prepared for an extension. Is that correct? It's my understanding. Correct. Good.
We like that spirit.
Don't make arrangements after the 9th of December. Just hold your horses. So anything is possible. Honorable Motara?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Just to indicate that we want to schedule the sitting on the 9th in the morning. As soon as we're done now, I'm going to see the Chief Whip. But I just want Advocate Tao just to come in on the issue of for the appropriations bill. It's the 9th, it's the Friday, which was supposed to happen the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday the 7th of December is my birthday, just for purposes of information. But Advocate Tao, if you can just come in on the 30 days, because the 30th day for the passing of the bill is the 7th. How will this implicate, the program is going beyond the 7th, and what is there any likelihood that it could have, it can be challenged or not?
Well, the last time, I think it was last year, remember, when there was a shift of day, the legal opinion was to say there are no consequences indicated in the legislation that if you don't comply, but if you read it within the context of budgetary processes, looking into Public Finance Management Act and other things, the purpose is to facilitate that budgeting process. So if for some reason there is no compliance, it does not make that legislation not legal. That is the understanding.
Just on the matter of finance. Yes.
30th day is the 7th of December. No. I just want the committee to understand. It is something that Advocate Jenkins told us even last year when we shifted the dates, that your 30 days is to pass the bill so that provinces can get their adjusted budgets. And that process must go on until January sometime. There's a cut-off in January. So as long as you allow Treasury to do the shifting of funds until that cut-off in January, it doesn't affect, and because the legislation doesn't have consequences. I just want the committee to get the same information that Advocate Jenkins had given us last year, because we do sit with the same situation. But if we can leave it there, Chair. Thanks.
Good morning.
I'm happy that we still are setting the 9th as a date for possible last sitting. No, I'm happy with that. Is that anything else? But I think she's right that we should conscientize ourselves and get the right interpretation. Cordially, as a committee, we understand the implications of our program.
Just on the matter of the taxation laws amendment bills that was supposed to be voted on today, this morning, in the Standing Committee of Finance, I spoke to Honorable Karim yesterday. This might be dragged out until next week, Tuesday. I will now phone him after this meeting. I sent messages, but they haven't replied yet, because we were supposed to deal with it in our committee next Tuesday, the 29th. If you look at our program. So there's a big question mark. If they vote on it next Tuesday, it must go to the plenary in the National Assembly and then refer to us, and that shifts us a week later. So that you just bear that in mind. That's why I said hold your horses for the 9th of December. There's three. So that is where we are. Just a request for the staff that our committee report on the provincial treasuries be ATC, please. And secondly, that we secure a date for this meeting with the officials from DIRCO and from Parliament regarding the Mexico matter. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Going to New York is going to be Donald Trump's. Going to be Donald Trump's.
I'm not going to be.
When is New York? When is New York?